And without further hesitation, one of our sisters, Yoey Reyes, is going to share her testimony of her life that led to Mary's Pregnancy Resource Center. Yoey?
Good morning. It is good to be back, and it is good to be warm. We were at the March for Life, and it was really cold, a lot of snow. When Pastor Bernie asked me to share my testimony, I was a little bit hesitant. I have shared at many places, but we just recently started coming to the church, and it was like, oh, my God. Since I'm Cuban and I can go on and on, I thought, well, I'm going to read it so that I can let my people go. And so I wrote it, and I'm going to be reading it. Bear with me. I don't know why, because I speak in a lot of places, but I'm a little bit nervous today. I guess it's been a lot of emotions in the last 2 weeks, a lot of things that we have done, and a lot of places that have asked me to share. And I don't know, for some reason, I'm kind of nervous. So it starts this way. Trials are a way for God's name to be glorified. It's called purpose. Some of the trials, however, leave deep wounds and very noticeable scars, abortion being one of those. This month, we are observing 43 years since abortion became legal in the United States. As Christians, we are observing the murder of millions of children brutally killed at the hand of abortion, and same amount of women and men victimized under the misguidance of compassionate care. In October 2010, my husband Pete and I were called to serve women experiencing unplanned crisis, unwanted pregnancies. Why this ministry to women and the unborn? I, like these women, have to face many of the hardships that they are presently facing. I was born in Havana, Cuba. My father was a captain of the Navy, and my mother was an English teacher for the Naval Academy. However, when I was only 3 years old, my parents divorced. That was the first wound of many. My mother couldn't deal with the divorce and ended up at a military psychiatric hospital where she spent some time. At this center, she met my stepfather, who was a captain for the Western District of the police force in Havana. However, he had also been admitted because as a result of his divorce, he was dealing with chronic depression. Not long after, they were both discharged from the center, got married, and he moved in with us. Soon after moving in, he began to sexually molest me, and since I was only 4 years old, I could not understand what was happening. I was too young to make much of it, and he was smart enough to know how to confuse me by making me think that he loved me as my father. He was a father in every other area, so in my mind, that was the way it was, although I felt uncomfortable and fearful. As if that was not enough, around the same time, a neighbor and close friend of the family also sexually molested. Year passed by and the abuse continued. I was 9 years old one day when my stepfather was abusing me, and I got upset and told him that I was going to tell my dad about it and that I didn't like what he was doing to me. In response, he took his gun, put it on my head, and told me that if I ever tell anyone, he would kill my family and then kill himself, I'm sorry. From that moment on, I felt responsible for the well-being of my family, which placed a burden impossible to carry at my young age. On the other hand, my mother asked me not to testify, or rather lie, and tell the judge I didn't remember the abuse that I had received from my neighbor. She thought it was better to forgive. Of course, the message I got from that was, why bother telling anyone what my stepfather was doing to me? No one cares. My own mother had just coerced me to forgive the same offense by lying to the judge. My teen years arrived, and with it, you can guess. Lots of rebelliousness, I was angry, disrespectful, and began to smoke cigarettes. By now, I fully understood what was being done to me, and I didn't know how to deal with it. Of course, I was now 13 years old, so my stepfather decided to take it to the next level, and the abuse escalated from molestation to rape. That continued, and I got pregnant. So he convinced my mother, and they took me to a clinic to have an abortion. In Cuba, I don't know how many of you know, but in Cuba, it is as easy as just to walk in a hospital and say, I want to regulate my menstrual period. They don't even call it an abortion. But by the time I was 15 years old, I got pregnant again. This time, the doctors didn't want to perform another abortion because I was too young and underweight. So on November 21st, 1990, I had my baby boy. Years passed by, and I always wondered who the real father was. I had a boyfriend at the time. I was fearful that it could be my stepfather. To this day, I actually don't know for sure, although many genetic similarities lead me to believe he is biologically my stepfather. But it doesn't matter. I know who his mother is, and I love him with all my heart. It was through a time of prayer when I felt this urge. I couldn't change my past, but I could become in the future something that I longed for many times. Someone who cared, and I made up my mind that I was going to be that someone. I spoke to my husband and pastor regarding opening a crisis pregnancy center at our church, and they supported me. My husband worked long hours in a room of our church, transforming it into a beautiful center, and we began helping the women of our community, but the financial situation was tight. We were financing the ministry primarily out of our personal savings. Several months later, we applied and received a grant from the Florida Pregnancy Support Services Program. I can share with you testimony after testimony of lives that have been saved and healing that have taken place. We now rent a 3/4-acre facility where we counsel and case manage the clients, educate them, refer, and provide many resources that they need throughout their pregnancy and up to 1 year after the baby is born. I can understand the pain of these women. I can see that there is more than a rebellious young lady or a lazy woman or a promiscuous one. I share with them the test, but also the victory. My husband and I have been married for 14 years. I didn't see my son for a long 12 years, but then, with my husband's help, I was able to bring him to our country since I became an American citizen. We were able to buy our own house several years ago, and I have worked for God in ministry for the last 10 years. I overcame, and I have seen that by sharing my story with our clients, it gives them hope and encourages them to keep fighting and turn their lives into something beautiful. I also like to share my story because many people are quick to judge another person's life without knowing the root of the problem or the wounds that the person has suffered. In fact, many times these problems are rooted in their childhood and are responsible for their unhealthy lifestyles. I am a Christian, and I will never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it was Jesus who brought light into my world of darkness. And all glory goes to him for every accomplishment. Every hurting soul who is experiencing an unplanned pregnancy is our responsibility. Every baby deserves to live, and we seek to testify about Jesus through our unconditional services to them. We educate ourselves about every tool, every service, and every link we can make in order to bring a complete and legitimate help to these clients. We do not enable them, but instead help them to deal with the root of the issues that are the cause of the bad decisions that are keeping them from becoming self-sufficient. Because I know their pain, I can share the good news of the hope that is in Christ. Through my life, they can see that no matter what we have gone through, we are able to conquer and become something beautiful. My husband also works with the fathers, and he too brings a message of hope and redemption. You have to hear his version. Our focus is to build God's kingdom by serving our community, to speak for the unborn, to bring hope to the hopeless, to seek solutions to help people become self-sufficient and less government-dependent. I have been able to mourn the loss of the child that was aborted when I was young, and I don't walk in guilt or shame anymore. Instead, I speak boldly and openly about my life, yes, with pain, but also with the hope that others will see it is not impossible to get out of the pit in which you find yourself maybe at the present time. I advocate on behalf of that 1% that even pro-lifers and Christians seem to approve of for abortion, cases of rape and incest. When I hear those statements, what I hear is that my son Pedro is not worthy to be alive because of the crime committed by my stepfather. What I hear is that he was not wonderfully and fearfully made by Almighty God. What I hear is that the words of Job 33:4 don't apply to Pedro. The Spirit of the Lord didn't make Pedro, and the breath of the Almighty didn't give him life. If you are pro-life, be pro-life 100%. No exceptions, no compromise. Pedro's my only child alive, as I was never able to conceive again. But he is a precious gift from God. He is loved, and he was adopted by my husband, who loves him and works tirelessly to provide for him, and who spends more time than you can think praying for him daily. I will close with this. I encourage you today to realize that without the trials in my life, I would have never been able to touch so many women experiencing same or similar hardships. I encourage you today to find ways in which to support the pro-life movement, whether financially or volunteering. We are in the front line, but we need you. We need your prayers most of all. This is not a political issue. This is a biblical issue. This is life and death we are talking about. This is not a women's issue for you men. This is an everyone's issue. Let me say this. Pray about what it is that you have gone through in life that can be used to build the kingdom of God. Your story may not be similar to mine, but I am sure you have experienced your own trials, because one thing is certain: we live in a broken world. It is not the circumstances itself, but our reaction to it, that makes any event a tragedy or a triumph. Instead of nursing all bitter wounds, Joseph freely extended grace from an open hand. God loves you, and so do I.